I hope Matt's okay with it.
Does anyone really ask?
What we may have missed. What we forgot. What we need to touch on. What we promoted that we didn't get to. And even if it's just a minute or two, a mention.
Clean up in aisle three.
Clean up on aisle three.
Ah, yes, indeed. Let's start in Denver, where Broncos head coach Sean Payton, never known to be Mr. Nice Guy, was under fire as the Carolina Panthers, not head coach Dave Canales, at least on the field, were upset that Payton had the mere audacity to run not one, but two trick plays. The Broncos were up 28-7 against Bryce Young, a Panther team without Deontay Johnson, without Adam Thielen, overmatched clearly in Denver. They attempted a fake field goal on what would have been a 60-yard attempt by Will Lutz. Later in that same quarter, again, 28-7 in the fourth quarter, when they tried the fake field goal, they had Cortland Sutton, a wide receiver, complete a fourth down pass to field goal to fullback Michael Burton to keep a drive going. So J.C. Horn, after the game, who has been mentioned in trade talks, but apparently is not available, came up to Payton and had a brief exchange accusing him of running up the score. Canales said the fake field goal attempt was their decision to make as the Broncos tried to clock out the game, what have you. I would say this, I had no problem. A 60-yard field goal, even in the mile-high thin, I have no idea how the wind was blowing, whatever. That, to me, is like, okay. I mean, I know 60-yarders are not as impossible as they used to be by any stretch. But I can kind of understand that. But to have, you know, a wide receiver throw a pass to a fullback in the fourth quarter of a 28-7 game against an absolutely anemic offense, that probably, to me, would irk me. Just saying. I mean, I understand it both ways. They're trying to finish the game. You never know in the NFL. I got it. Even Payton said, I know, like seven times. He got, you know, I said it Sunday night. We're trying to finish the game the right way. We're not trying to run up the score on anyone. It's a National Football League. I've been in games with a 28-point lead in the fourth quarter and lost, so we're trying to finish. He said, play better. Yeah! Sean Payton with another little barb. Yeah, listen. Were they trying to run up the score? Probably not. But are they trying to make sure that they don't somehow lose a game that they have no business losing? Yes. Listen, the special teams coordinator there is Ben Kotwicka, who's a friend of the show and been a longtime friend of mine. I haven't talked to Ben about it. He's not a jerk. He's not trying to run up anything. I mean, that's a military guy. That's an Army guy who's just been a coach for a long time. He is not trying to run up the score. I can tell you that much. I can't tell you much of anything else, but I can tell you that much. All right. After last night's Dallas-San Francisco game, I know we talked about Dallas and San Francisco with Jay from a what's wrong with the Cowboys and, you know, so on and so forth perspective. Did you see what happened with television reporter, I think his name is Mike Leslie, from Dallas, and Trayvon Diggs, Stephon Diggs' brother? Well, Trayvon Diggs, who, again, had a torn ACL last year, Trayvon Diggs apparently was on his phone right after the game and took offense to something Leslie said on Twitter, which was questioning Trayvon Diggs' effort on one of the George Kittle touchdowns, in which Trayvon Diggs was kind of seemingly not running as hard as maybe he could have, but he was enough out of the play where you certainly can't say he should have made the play, but he certainly also wasn't running. He didn't appear to be running as hard as he could have. And Diggs saw that when the reporter said, "What is Trayvon Diggs doing here?" and showed the video. And look, again, I understand the player being pissed off. Hey, man, you're calling me out saying I'm not giving effort. He did give some effort. How much? The best? That certainly is fair to question. I don't know, man. You know, like, here's what I know. Maybe that reporter could have done better. Certainly, Trayvon Diggs could have done his job better. Here's one thing that I know. You do not, under any circumstances, need players coming out of the locker room while reporters are waiting to get in the locker room and basically verbally harassing, accusing, verbal assault, whatever, to a reporter. Because there's zero way. There's zero way. Except with you jock-sniffing homeboys that just think players can never do anything wrong and the coaches are all to blame for everything and us dummies in the media are evil and rotten bastards. All you jock-sniffing homeboys, you know who you are the only ones that are defending Trayvon Diggs. Because there's no way to spin it in any other way except that's not what you do as a professional. You want to pull the guy aside in the locker room and say, hey, man, what's this? Like, I didn't appreciate this. I've been good to you. You know, I've given you access. I've given you time. Like, why are you selling me out like that? I had an exchange with Josh Wilson, if you guys remember Josh Wilson, the Redskins corner, signed in 2011. He was not happy with some of the criticism I was laying down on him. He came up to me right outside the locker room one day after practice, and he was not happy. And you know who came in between and intervened? D'Angelo Hall. And he said, hey, man, he goes, that guy's one of us, meaning me, because I was working for the team at that point. But I was also independent. I mean, I was not allowed to just, you know, be Peter positive. And he had to kind of separate and push Josh Wilson back because Josh Wilson was pissed that I was being so critical. Now, Josh and I are fine. We bumped into each other a couple of times, since then. Rocky McIntosh was also upset at me one time because I reported at the end of the 2011 season, New Year's Eve, that he broke curfew in Philadelphia, which he did. He stuffed a bunch of pillows or whatever he did in his bed, and when they came around to bed check, they busted him and found out that he broke curfew. But he was mad, not that I reported that, because that's what he did, he said. He was mad that I reported that he had been late to a meeting, because I was also told that by multiple sources. I don't know if he was or he wasn't. That's just what I was told by people that had never lied to me before. And what I trusted, and clearly they were out of the Rocky McIntosh business. That was going to be his last game with the Commander, with the Redskins. But the point being is, he was mad about that part of the story, not the actual, hey man, I broke curfew. No, I did that. We're good here. Again, these things happen. They happen on bad and losing teams. And I just wanted to share those stories with you guys because that's the kind of guy I am. Where else would I be if you weren't getting the truth from me? All right, one last one. You know the WNBA season wrapped up, about 5 or 6 days ago or whatever? We talked about, and the Mystics fired Eric Thibault and his dad as the general manager last week, and we had gone over five, I guess it is, different WNBA coaches. Well, now the Connecticut Sun have fired their head coach. 47-year-old Stephanie White, 55-25 regular season record, 7-7 postseason record in 2 years with the team. She was the former head coach of the Indiana Fever and Vanderbilt, whatever. Nobody cares about any of that stuff. But I believe she is the sixth. I don't have it right in front of me, but I believe the sixth WNBA coach to be fired since the season ended, or since the regular season ended. That's pretty crazy, right? I mean, we see that stuff, you know, obviously in every other sport, so maybe it's not so crazy, but kind of interesting to see the stakes as the eyeballs have gone up, the stakes that are him. All right, that does it for Cleanup on aisle 3.
Cleanup in aisle 3.